earthcareradio.org. I'm Vicki Wolf with CLEAN, Citizens League for Environmental Action Now. And that's Earth Care for today and a better tomorrow.
You're listening to KPFT. The time is now 3 o'clock. Coming up next, we've got the New Capital Show with Leo Gold, so stay tuned.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold, your host. A pleasure to be with you today on another nice, cool, rainy day in Houston, Texas. I love it. You may not, but I do. Beats the hell out of frying, which we do every summer here. Coming to you from the studios of 90.1 FM KPFT, Houston, Texas, a member of the Pacifica Radio Network. And I have joining me in the studio today several green entrepreneurs who will tell us a little bit about maybe some of the gifts that you can give for the holidays that will be a little different, maybe a little better, a little greener, a little more environmental than something that you might have been thinking of, or a place you might go to have a meal that's going to be a little greener, more environmental, a little better for our environment and for our animals as well. Welcome to the show, Jeff Kaplan. Jeff is the owner of New Living, a green building and home store. Rusty Power is the owner of Bird's Market, brand new. It's an urban market that opened recently in downtown Houston. And Jonathan Jones, who is the co-owner and manager and head chef at Beaver's Restaurant, which is like an organic barbecue joint here in Houston. Jeff put the show together for me. I asked him to do it a few weeks ago. And again, I wanted to highlight just some businesses that are happening here in Houston that are green businesses. Jeff, tell me about New Living. You've done a lot of marketing around town. I think a lot of people know about your store. And tell us a little bit about what New Living is offering.
We are a green building and home store. And the goal of our business is to normalize and mainstream the green building and green living movement in general. And, you know, we're up against this perception that green products and green building is only for very wealthy people. And I think in the past that may have been true. We are doing every single thing we possibly can to make our products cost the same as or less than normal traditional materials.
And you're located in the Rice Village.
We are in the heart of the Rice Village. We retrofitted Houston's oldest hardware store. It was a 70-year-old business owned by the Wagner family. They're an amazing family, and they gave us the opportunity to incubate this idea on an aisle of their store about a year and a half ago, and then we took two aisles, and then last year leased the entire store and had a grand opening in July. So we're in about our seventh month after our launch.
And what do people find when they come into the store?
Well, we want to make it easy. I mean, anyone that comes in can be connected. We're kind of like a green information boutique, so we don't just sell stuff. We sell the whole service. You know, if you walk in to New Living, we can help you, you know, with the entire installation for a green countertop made from, you know, reclaimed materials. We can sell you non-toxic paint. We can sell you organic mattresses that are free of all the fire retardants and the VOCs and all the off-gassing. We have lots of flooring options. We can do custom floors, but we don't just sell the materials. We really think through the entire process of the installation. Because a lot of our customers are concerned with health, not just the environmental impact. They have issues, whether it be their children has autism, or they've undergone chemotherapy, or they have asthma, or just any number of allergies. We make sure that if they're buying a product from us, that the entire process is thought out. In other words, the chemicals that are used in the installation process, the glues, the adhesives, all those things need to be as healthy and sustainable as possible. And they also will find an ethic for business. We just got accepted to be a B Corp. We're not officially a B Corp yet, but we plan on being a B Corp in 2010, and we're very excited about that. We think we may be the second B Corp in the state.
What is a B Corp?
We're going to change our legal charter to be a B Corp, and it's a promise that we are committed to measuring our success based on having a financial, social, environmental, and economic impact on the community. So it's social entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. Rusty, tell us about your new venture downtown in Houston.
We opened a thing in the old Bird's department store called Bird's Market and Cafe. And what we're doing is we're doing kind of almost a Dean and DeLuca concept on a very local level. We're doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner in our cafe 7 days a week. We have a limited line of, I like to say gourmet groceries, but we're really trying to hit the basics for the downtown resident. We've got milk, bread, eggs. But it's not just your normal grocery store stuff. It's all locally sourced. It's all organic.
So what does that mean? Locally sourced means that you have arrangements with local farms.
Correct.
And what is that like? When people buy from you, they know that they're getting products that are humanely raised, humanely slaughtered, humanely raised from beginning to end, and then also the fed proper food that's not using chemicals and antibiotics and so forth. Is that right?
That is exactly right. Locally sourced, the produce can mean a lot of different things. I've seen the places where most of my produce is grown, and I know that it's not coming from big farm and get covered with pesticides and that kind of stuff. And the meat, like I've got an amazing source for beef. It's a ranch out in Ozona that spent 6 years breeding the hormones and all the bad stuff out of the cows, and they actually bring the meat into me.
Are the guys out there starting to get it? I know I had a cousin, maybe actually it was my uncle, in the cattle business.
Yeah.
And he died about 10 years ago. But I remember telling him all along, you seem to have handed over your control of your business to the beef packers. And
right.
They're telling you when you're going to turn over the cattle and they're going to be finished off in a feedlot. And I said, why don't you all get together and maintain control of your cattle and raise it, till slaughter time and do it humanely and on pasture. And you all could command greater prices for your products. Are we starting to see more of that in Texas?
I think, yes, you are. I think that the hormones and the oversized cows and all the bad stuff, I think people are starting to see the long-term effects of that. I do think that, you see 13-year-old girls that look like they're 30, that kind of stuff. Nobody really knows. One thing that's really kind of paid off well for us is the movie Food Inc. came out.
Uh-huh, yep.
And people have actually seen where food's coming from and what the food's going through, and they're looking for a more pure source of food.
Do people come in and talk about that movie?
I've heard it quite a bit, especially, to me especially, because they know what we're doing and they understand, and they're just appreciative of somebody that really has taken a responsibility for what they're feeding the people.
And JJ, the barbecue business. I mean, you think of barbecue, you don't think of maybe you do, but generally people kind of go to barbecue and whatever goes. But you've created kind of a new concept in barbecue, a higher end organic barbecue restaurant.
It's still a very affordable restaurant. I hesitate to use the word higher end. We definitely take a more, we apply a lot more integrity to our product sourcing, for sure. Our beef is from Nature Well, it's out in the Midwest, and they're on pasture. They're not done in feedlots. They're humanely killed. They're not fed any hormones or antibiotics or anything like that. So it's an all-natural beef. It costs a little bit more, but it's not so bad that it's cost prohibitive. And I think people, to me, the quality is in the product. Once you taste it, you understand. But, but what you guys were talking about also is, with Food Inc., is people are aware, much more conscious now about where their products are coming from. And, places like Whole Foods and Central Market have definitely helped in that perception, because they really said, hey, man, there is a viable source out there. There are places you can get. And then, of course, you know, Monica Pope with bringing out the farmer's market, then the other farmer's market over at 3000 Richmond and Eastside.
And Monica's your business partner.
Monica is probably the founding chef of Beaver's Ice House. Mm-hmm. And she has her restaurant Tofia in the Midtown Farmer's Market. And, you know, without her, like the farm-to-table produce and stuff that the chefs have to get, and what Rusty's sourcing, would be a much harder ball game at this point had she not started spurring this about 15 years ago.
Now, we're seeing a lot of this in places like Portland, Oregon, and maybe New York, where stuff comes out of Hudson Valley, and less here in Texas, but are we seeing more of it is the question. We don't have to be where they are, but are we starting to see competition, which is really what
yes.
you want, because the more it's kind of like Napa Valley. Nobody would go to Napa Valley if there was only one vineyard there, right?
Sure. Yeah.
People go there because there are lots and lots of vineyards, and so it's a cluster of businesses that act and behave the same. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me you stand to benefit as more and more restaurants raise awareness of notions like organic and humane treatment and so forth. Are you seeing others come into the space?
Absolutely. I mean, just after over the last year, we went from one farmer's market to two, and now we have five, and they're running like, well, I think it's 5 days a week or 4 days a week in different venues. And you see different farmers at each market. Now, there are some guys that will travel, you know, from the Wednesday farmer's market at Rice to the Saturday farmer's market at either Tofia or 3000 Richmond, and they you know, work both those markets, but being able to go to market like Georgia beef. Georgia beef has become a big deal. Georgia's grass-fed beef here in Texas, and that's something that people are really buying into, and they're one of the more successful farmers that's really kind of helping push this agenda.
This is a Texas-based company?
Texas-based company, and I believe the name is Georgia's grass-fed
beef. Okay. Any other names you want to throw out that people should be kind of on the lookout for?
I don't know who you're using for your bread. I'm using Slow Dough Bread, who's just doing an amazing job for me.
Slow Dough Bread.
It's a fourth-generation baker from Chicago. His name's Heath. He's a great guy.
They do a great product. I still use Craftsman, but I've just had a really long relationship with
Craftsman. Craftsman's great, too. We're one of only two places you can actually buy the bread retail.
Uh-huh.
They're in a couple of restaurants, but we retail it, and it's just amazing stuff. He's done a great job for us. They're, again, all natural. Highest quality flowers, all that stuff.
Yeah, I can attest to that. They have excellent products.
They're great.
Let's turn back to Jeff. Jeff, let's help people do some shopping if it's the holiday season, if people haven't done their shopping. You were talking about a concept before we went on the air that you all are offering, which is service gifts of services that you're just getting going in a program. Maybe you might want to describe
sure.
that for people.
Well, we set out to make the green building, green living movement accessible and easy, and one of the things we can do is offer that extra level of service. So in about a day from now, we're going to launch our new website, which is www.newliving.net. That's newliving.net, and on our website you will be able to purchase services online on our homepage. And one of the greenest things you can do this holiday season, I think, is instead of giving stuff, you know, we all have so much stuff, you can buy somebody a green service and also support the local economy and support another green entrepreneur. So you can go to our website and purchase recycling. We have a partner who will go to your home anywhere inside the Beltway and set you up on a recycling program, because it's still not easy to recycle in Houston. We don't really have a citywide program. And she will go in and set up all the things that you need for, it's like $80 for 2 months of recycling, and then they can do it on their own. But if you have a friend that you really, really, really want to encourage recycle, that's a great gift.
So in other words, if, let's say, your parents don't want to recycle, you might get it for them.
Absolutely.
and this will be a recycling trainer
right.
for them to get them into the swing of things.
Right.
That's great.
And we also have healthy home and energy efficiency audits you can purchase. We have green service consultations. We have, you know, really just all the basic things that you need to green your home. And then we have our normal products, like our natural and organic bedding and some general retail products. But it really is... I mean, I really believe more than anything, that we all need to do everything we can to support our local economy and to help other local businesses. So
this is going to debut tomorrow, right? They're not going to see it today, but if they go tomorrow to newliving.net,
right.
they'll find this ability to purchase services.
Tomorrow at newliving.net, we will be set up.
The gun's going to go off. Okay. JJ, any products that you would recommend just out of your playbook? The You all mentioned slow dough, and it looks like the website is slowdoughbreadco.com. That's what Afshar is sending to me. Any products or companies that you would want to highlight that you like?
Definitely Countryside Farms out of Creekside, Texas, near Austin. I just picked up all-natural lamb from him today, and also small duck hens.
I mean, people could give a gift of meat or eggs or chicken
absolutely,
or whatever. I mean,
absolutely.
That's not a bad people. A lot of people give those kind of gifts.
Hey, you know, putting together a meal in a basket for somebody from the farmer's market, to me, is probably one of the more sincere gifts you can give.
People order these Omaha steaks to be sent all over the country, right? So why not order it locally and know that it's organic
absolutely.
And humane?
You know, we definitely do catering for the holidays. I mean, if you want all-natural meats and barbecue, and of course, we do a lot more than that. We're actually more of a Texas coastal food restaurant with barbecue.
Is it too late to order up a party from Beavers right now for the holidays?
No,
he's shaking his head. No, give him a call.
No, call me, please. We have plenty of eager staff and plenty of great food to go around.
Okay,
for the holidays.
Okay, and who do they give the number?
You can call me directly, 713-213-3611, or you can go to the website, beavershouston.com, which also goes directly to my email. So I'm one of the administrators. So just look it up on the web. We're at 2310 Decatur. Also, we have a lot of what we call beaverabilia, which you can see the samples of beaverabilia, which are everything from mugs to boxer shorts to really cool and quirky sayings on T-shirts and hats. And we have a display case at Beavers, but you actually would have to order it from the internet.
Can't you get like a fried Twinkie from you or something? JJ, can't you get like a fried Twinkie for all sorts of exotic stuff, right?
No, I'm not frying Twinkies. No, I leave that for those guys in Las Vegas.
Can JJ say what some of his favorite
sayings
are?
I do fry brownies.
What is what?
Can JJ say what some of his favorite Beaver sayings are?
They have a lot of fun with
it. I don't see why not.
They have a lot of fun with the name.
Well, we do. Yeah, of course, you know, you work in a place like Beavers. The
sure.
Tomfoolery runs rampant. But, you know, one of our T-shirts, which is our most popular one, it just says Beavers located just south of Hooters.
Okay. And Rusty, on that note, let's turn to you and with the much tamer birds market.
Right.
and what's on your list of things that you might recommend to people for holiday gifts?
We're actually putting together holiday baskets, and it's all our stuff that we're putting in baskets there.
Oh.
And, you know, local organic stuff. Gift certificates are a great gift. One real quick thing about Jeff's company, New Living. I sourced a lot of stuff from my restaurant, for my build, from Jeff, on my countertops, on my flooring, on my paint. And to be real honest, you know, people want to go green and they don't know how to start. And I honestly didn't know how to start. We wanted to do a LEED build, but, you know, we're retrofitting an old building.
So what happened? You walked in, you saw Jeff, and you said what?
I've actually known Jeff for a very long time,
uh-huh.
And I just went to him, and I said, you know, what can I do? And he's like, this is exactly what we do. People that don't know how to get started doing green stuff, if you just want to paint your walls, you can do the right thing. If you want to recover your floors, you can do the right thing.
Now, do you, in your store, do you have some sort of marketing advertising that says renovation or decor done by New Living, where you all cross-market each other, anything like that?
Jeff, actually, they produce cleaning supplies, and we have their full line of cleaning
uh-huh.
supplies. There is a little bit of mention here and there. We're doing a little cross-advertising and stuff. We cross-pollinate as much as we can.
So and you can get that at Bird's or at New Living. I'm really proud of this product, more almost as much as anything. We have a local cleaning line, and we make it using Houston labor, and we work with special needs workers who have physical and mental handicaps, primarily mental handicaps, and we pay them a fair wage to produce these products. And we have a general cleaner and a laundry soap, and you can buy that at Bird's Market or New Living.
So you can clean your house with these products, purchase these products regularly, and support disabled workers here in Houston.
Correct.
Is the idea.
New Living has also had a big impact on Beavers as well. I mean, I think all the paints and tables and stuff kind of helped out. No VOC paints and recycled wood tables, and we're also agreeing the fact we recycle all of our oil for biodiesel and try to use as much compostable and recyclable wares as possible. But definitely, New Living is a great thing.
Okay, so Jeff, New Living is serving as kind of a nexus for this area of green entrepreneurship, green restauranting, green retailing, and green in the household. What are you seeing from customers who come in? What are you hearing from customers that come in? What are they willing to pay? What are they not willing to pay? What's the good news? What's the bad news?
You know, I think the good news is that it's happening, and even in this economy, you know, people are becoming more conscientious. The bad news is that values-based consumption is still a new thing. And as much as you hear about green building and green living taking off, it's still less than 1% of the market today. And I think it's becoming much, much easier. And there's different motivations. I mean, some customers are coming to us because of health reasons and no other reasons. Some want to do the right thing for the environment and for the planet. So it's a moral reason, or they feel guilty about the way they've done things before. And some people are chasing points, you know, whether it be lead points or green build points. There's several different certifications. We are adept to work with all of those people. We work with a lot of architects working on LEED certified buildings. But our favorite thing to do is to work with people from whatever their motivation is that have made the decision from the beginning to do the most responsible thing they can do. And we don't want to judge them for not being green. We just want to make it easy and accessible and allow them to take the steps they need to take. But I feel, at the end of the day, I feel very optimistic about it happening. And I think it's so important that this stuff happens in Houston, Texas, because Houston is such a real city. A lot of eyes are on Houston right now, nationally. And I think, you know, in the past, no one really knew what to think of Houston. And they're seeing us. They're seeing us, you know, in the media a lot more. And our economy is arguably one of the most vibrant economies still in the country.
Certainly one of the stronger ones.
Yeah, although I don't think we're booming, we're not in the same position that other major cities are. And I think it working in Houston is such an important thing, because if this stuff can work in Houston, I think it's a real model and litmus test for these things happening in
Moscow.
anywhere. Yeah. So we're all committed
if
here.
If you're just joining us, this is the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold, your host. Joining me today are Jeff Kaplan, owner of New Living, a green building and home store, Rusty Powers, who is the owner of Bird's Market, an urban market, just recently opened in downtown Houston in the historic district, and Jonathan Jones, JJ, who is the co-owner and head chef at Beaver's Barbecue here in Houston. We're talking about green entrepreneurship and their businesses. Rusty, what would you, if somebody's listening and says, oh, I'm interested in getting into business and greening my business, what advice would you give them?
Monica Pope's a great source. Jonathan Jones is a great source.
Monica Pope is a great
Monica's
source.
An amazing source. But, you know, it's just...
So talk to people who've done it.
You can do the right thing in anything. I mean, you know, if you're serving hamburgers, you can do the right thing and get the right meat. If you're serving chicken, whatever it is, produce, you know, make the smallest footprint you can.
We're definitely not guarded about where and how and why we're doing these things. It's an open forum, and we'd love to share it. You know, I think Houston's taking great strides, and you can see it on the streets every day. I mean, you go into Midtown, downtown, and they now have like the eco taxis, and you know, there's things happening around. I mean, it's not like this handful of you know the people used to call them tree huggers. You know, it's not like that. People are just really becoming socially and ecologically conscious, and it's just the right thing to do, and it's better all the way around.
Jeff, you want to jump in?
I think working with people that share your ethic is really important. I think all of us have worked together in many capacities in the past, and we've worked with Monica, and there's a real green community, and I think, you know, more than anything, being green, I mean, green is a really tough word. If you ask 100 people what that word means, you'll get 200 answers. To me personally, it really means thinking about how what you're doing impacts the greater community in general. And I think that's what it's really about, you know, working with people that share your values. And I think, you know, the change today in Houston is, you know, there are a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs that have started to roll up their sleeves and work together. You know, you can't own this movement. You can't own the local food movement. You can't own the word organic or the word green. We're all doing this stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been great to have the three of you on the New Capital Show. Let's just go through again and tell everybody how they can get a hold of you in case they're interested in picking up services or visiting your stores. Rusty, why don't you start off? Tell people how they can find you.
Bird's Market on the corner of Prairie and Main in downtown Houston. Phone number 713-225-0100. And birdsmarket.com is the website. And we are not taking orders on the website just yet, but call us. We can take care of anything.
And you can take care of gift baskets for people.
Definitely.
And gift certificates as well.
Gift cards, correct.
JJ, what about Beavers? And how you gave it out before, but go ahead and tell people again how they can get a hold of you for catering or just a visit for a good meal.
The website is the best bet with us, and it's www.beavershouston.com. You can also call me directly at 713-213-3611. Also, you know, we're giving out gift cards too. You know,
gift cards as well.
One of the best gifts is buying an experience for somebody. So come have a farm to table experience with us over at Beavers. And I need to plug my New Year's Day celebration.
Oh yes, you do. We talked about it.
We have a hair of the beaver hangover patio party every year on the 1st. So we're going to have live music, and we're going to have Ria Sewell Tequila, who is actually a local promoted tequila as well.
So it'll be a great place to spend New Year's Day.
Absolutely.
Are there football games anymore on New Year's Day, or did they wipe them all out? Didn't they?
Well, we have three flat screens, so if there is, it's going to be on, I guarantee you.
Are you going to bury a pig, Jonathan?
I might.
I'm not going to ask. Last but not least, Jeff Kaplan, how can they find you?
Well, we're in the heart of Rice Village. It's 6111 Kirby Drive, and we're open every day of the week. And you can go to the website, www.newliving.net. And tomorrow we're launching our new website at newliving.net. And I'll follow Jonathan's lead and give my personal cell phone as well.
Ooh.
If you want to call me for anything, my number is 281-630-2220. Thank you so much.
You hear that, ladies?
Thanks.
It's great to have all three of you gentlemen on. And best of luck to all of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Yes. Thank you.
New Capital Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1 FM. The time is now 3:27. It's not exactly pouring rain yet, but it's kind of sprinkling out there, which has caused some early traffic problems. If you're around the West Loop or the north side of the West Loop, be careful because it's getting pretty clogged up. Stay tuned.
All my love was down.
Welcome back to the New Capital Show, www.newcapitalshow.com. You can find us on Facebook as well, and you can find me on Facebook also under Leo Gold. 713-526-5738. We'll be taking your calls in just a couple minutes. If you've got anything you want to talk about, we've got about 30 minutes left in the show, 713-526-KPFT. You know, really, whatever you want to talk about. We're winding down the year. It's been, of course, an incredibly eventful year, just as last year was an incredibly eventful year. And, you know, I've done lots of talking this year, and it'd be great to let you do some talking, whatever's on your mind. So much in the news, so many big items with climate talks going on in Copenhagen, with healthcare debates going on in the U.S. Senate, and apparently a handful of senators determined to play whatever role they're going to play in either aiding the bill as it's currently crafted to get through or to block it. In the past few days, we've seen lots of emotion coming out of the Senate and suggestions from Senator Joe Lieberman that he would not support the bill if it had any kind of public option or Medicare extension, and other offshoots like that would basically scuttle and kill the whole bill. Senator Ben Nelson out of Nebraska. These are conservative Democrats. And it's unclear what's going to happen. Howard Dean, who was the chairman of the Democratic National Committee last year, has gone out and publicly called for the bill as it's written in the Senate to be killed, flat out. Kill it, he said, and go to what's known as a reconciliation process. Of course, they have to pass something to go to reconciliation, so what would get passed would be whatever it would be, and then they would do a reconciliation with the House. That's allowed, and then that process is immune to the filibuster. Filibuster allows one individual in the Senate basically to take control of the process, and it can only be overcome with 60 votes in the Senate. And this is why a handful of senators have so much power, because in order to avoid the filibuster, you've got to get to 60. The reconciliation process does not have that. In fact, I think it's 100 hours of debate. It's capped at, and then that's it. Votes are taken. We'll see what happens there. So lots of news, some of it questionable, some of it bad, some of it good. New York Times reports foes unite to support bill on old growth forests. This is in Oregon, calling a truce in a long and bitter battle. Timber executives and environmentalists united on Wednesday, that's yesterday, in supporting legislation to codify and expand current protections for old growth forests on federal land in eastern Oregon. After nearly 8 months of talks, representatives of both groups joined Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, at a news conference in Washington as he introduced a bill that would ban cutting of trees more than 21 inches in diameter and protect delicate watershed areas. Such prohibitions are already in place in many forests but are administrative in nature rather than mandated by law and subject to rollback at any time. Those of us who love big, old trees and want them to stay around, we'll welcome that news, just as we welcomed the news last week that the EPA has decided that massive amounts of carbon dioxide going into the atmosphere poses a danger and a risk. We'll see what happens in Copenhagen, which I think by many accounts is a big, hairy event going on. Nobody's quite sure where that's going to come out, and that's okay. That's all right. Things happen the way they happen. Things will come out where they come out. I continue to be very optimistic that humankind in our country is moving forward in very, very positive ways. My dad called me the other day. My dad's never cared at all about. I talk about my dad a lot on the show. I'm not sure what it means, but called me yesterday, and he said, I got to tell you, I've gotten a proposal from my electricity provider, Stream, it's called. Frankly, I wish I'd known about this. Stream is offering regular electricity for 10.7 cents a kilowatt hour, and he said the green offering is 10.9 cents a kilowatt hour. 10.7 versus 10.9, almost equal. Green versus non-green electricity from Stream. Maybe some of you can verify that. That's what he told me. I don't know. I'm not a Stream user. I signed a contract with JEXA Energy at 12 point something. So if that's true, I'm a hurting puppy for the next year. I signed a contract. But still, I'm happy to hear that electricity costs between green energy and non-green energy are so close. I think that's great. 713-526-5738. Let's go to the phones right now. We don't have a lot of time left in the show because of our terrific guests who are on. I hope that you'll take a look at their businesses and their offerings when you go to your holiday shopping. Let's take James first. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Have you heard of the term green fascism?
Green fascism?
Yes.
I'm hearing, I've heard variants of it and ideas like it.
Okay, well, there's an idea on the LaRouchePact.com, uh-huh. and they just stated a paper, and it explains how, like, Prince Philip, who in his own words, he would like to be reborn uh-huh. as a deadly virus in order to be better able to assist in reducing the world's population by 80%. That was quoted by him as Prince Philip.
Okay.
And I just wanted to make a point that on the LaRouchePact.com, they talk about how...
Are you a LaRouche follower?
I organize with them, but
uh-huh.
yeah.
Okay.
And so it's basically describing how it's genocide. In Copenhagen, they put the OPT demanded that population reduction be placed at the very top of the agenda in Copenhagen.
Do you think that 9 billion people in the or 6 billion people in the world and climbing up to 9 billion is an issue or it's not an issue at all?
It is a big issue to the people who are trying to reduce the population.
Let me ask you this: do you think that the total depletion of our oceans by overfishing in order to feed human appetite for sushi is a problem or not a problem? Are you okay, James, with oceans with no life in them?
No.
You're okay with that or not? And your solution is what?
The solution is LaRouchePact to...
What's your solution for the oceans, James? You're calling my show. Mm-hmm. You're advertising your guru. What is your solution for depletion of the oceans? Let's just take that one. I mean, we could take a zillion of them, but let's get off climate change because I know you don't trust scientists in that area who are telling us we have a problem with CO2 loading into the atmosphere. Do you trust scientists who tell us that our fishing stocks are 10% of what they once were and falling? Or are those scientists full of it also?
Well, I know that scientists get paid nowadays to say things.
What do you get paid to do, James?
I don't get paid to do anything, really.
Okay. Except follow LaRouche?
No,
do they pay you?
I don't get paid by them at all.
Okay.
I'm just an independent thinker, and I believe some of the things they say. And there's also an independent source that is unrelated to LaRouche Pact. It's called the United Nations Population Fund,
uh-huh.
and it's over, like, 1,000 scientists, more or less, stating that that the global warming is a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
It's other scientists and other individuals who are disagreeing with the green fascism, pretty much.
Thanks, James. Thanks for the call. Okay, next up, let's take Chris on line two. Chris, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Hey, Chris.
No,
hey,
you're Chris. I'm Leo.
I was going to ask you, is it realistic at all to, when we eat all these special foods and sometimes we're being asked to, you know, grow our food and these gardens in our neighborhoods and that kind of thing, and, you know, so every now and then I hear about, you know, pooping in the backyard in a compost box. What can we do besides these kinds of things to, you know, make our communities better?
Well, Chris, you know, where we spend our money and the companies that we spend our money on and the products really has an enormous influence on how our economy develops. And so how it's a real vote how we spend our money. And so if you're spending your money with organizations that are engaged in practices that are sustainable means that they enable the biodiverse populations on our planet, animals and humans alike, and ecosystems to perpetuate ourselves. We care about the duration of our species, and we're not living just for today. If you're purchasing products and services from companies and people that care about those things, I think it stands to follow that you're doing what you can do. You don't have to go poop in composters in your backyard in order to do some good.
And then the farm, like in the neighborhood and that kind of thing, or the garden.
Yeah.
How realistic is that?
I mean, my own judgment is it's extremely realistic. I mean, we have lots of unused land that is able to produce or supplement our.
What would the homeowners association say about that?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I'm not the expert on it, but I can tell you that the folks at Urban Harvest are, and I'm sure that they interface with with homeowners groups all the time. I can tell you that there's lots of unused land that can be very unsightly, and so I think a lot of people would rather see a beautiful vegetable garden than not. And so I'm not saying that this is going to become our chief source of food supply, but the effort to source food locally is one that I think is not going to go away. And I think it's a very good way to go about sustainably growing produce.
Very good. In Copenhagen, mm-hmm. is it also productive? We see a lot of almost like rioting, and you know, you just see the protesters getting really ugly at the WTO and Seattle and Chicago and various places. How productive is it when we see those folks doing that kind of behavior, trying to get their point across?
I don't know. I think that it's a good question. I think there are a lot of people who are really angry on all sides. I mean, you see teabaggers very angry in this country, and you see climate those concerned about climate change very angry in Copenhagen. And I think that it's really more of a sign of how frustrated people are at their own inability to make change in a way that they see needs to happen. So I take it more as a symptom than anything else.
But the Tea Party guys are not destroying property, though.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm going to be honest with you. I have not seen what's going on in Copenhagen if there's property being destroyed. What I read, and it's only what I read, was that there were demonstrations that were trying to get close to the center of the conference, and they were turned away by police with tear gas, and the police were making statements like, they're not going to be allowed to come near the conference. So that's all I've seen. I haven't heard about any violence. You may know about some, but I haven't heard of any.
I'm just talking about in conferences in general, but that's cool.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Let's take Carol on line 5. Carol, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Hi. My consciousness has been raised about eating animals and not eating animals, probably by listening to, you know, Go Vegan mm-hmm. Texas on
Absolutely.
KPFT.
Yep.
So now there's a lot of talk about humane slaughter, and I used to like to believe in that. And I wish that Rusty was still on there with you or whatever, because I want to know, what's a humane slaughter? What is it? I mean, how is it really done? How is a chicken really killed?
Mm-hmm.
How is a cow really killed? You know, they throw that around, humane. I don't know if there is such a thing as a humane slaughter.
Well, Carol, there is. I saw the movie Food, Inc. the other day, and
oh, yeah.
There was a scene with a farmer who is a family farmer. Joel Salatin, I think, is his name, and he's in Virginia, maybe. And I think the movie convincingly as well, and this is also, I think his farm is also mentioned in Michael Pollan's book, The Omnivore's Dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
But his farm is described as engaging in humane slaughter, where it's very quick. The animal is raised humanely from birth to slaughter. And there's a scene in the movie where chickens are slaughtered. They're turned upside down. Apparently, this kind of, I don't know if it paralyzes them or whatnot, and then they're very quickly dispatched with a knife. So,
you mean their head is cut off?
That's right. So, my understanding is that's about the humanest that it can be. There are kosher laws. I'm Jewish, and I know that one of the main points of slaughter of a cow or any other animal in the Jewish Bible is that it must be done humanely, quickly, and painlessly. Painlessly is the key thing. So without fear, the animal's not allowed to be brought to a panic. It must be a fearless and painless, as much as possible, slaughter. Does that help?
Yeah, it does, except mm-hmm. I really am skeptical that actually occurs.
Those
animals know they're going to be killed.
I understand. I hear you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Next, Dave on line 4. Dave, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Thanks. We don't actually buy and sell electricity in the United States. We trade electrolocomotive force. It's a false belief to think that you trade in electricity. And understanding this is very important. It's critical to saving in fuel consumption and emissions, and it also enables you to avoid collision with an asteroid. So the establishment
Dave,
against you.
I'm going to move right along on my own electro-locomotive. Ready? Thanks for the call. Stacy on line one. Stacy, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Wow.
I know. How do you follow up Dave's electro-locomotion?
I don't know.
Give it
I'm
a shot.
I'm not going to try. This is a great show, and especially pertinent to me personally. But I just want to, you know, and I'd love to talk to you off air about a lot of this stuff, but crap.
You can do it, Stacy. I know you can.
I'm sorry, I got caught at a toll road.
Okay.
You should probably come back to me.
All right.
All right.
Give us a call back when you're through the toll road. We don't want you to have an accident.
Oh, on the air.
Next up is Lucy. Lucy, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Yes, this was quick. I wanted to tell the other listeners earlier that, yes, gardening in the city is really possible. I am participating in two community gardens in First Ward, just almost under the highways. And we are several households already that we eat whatever we grow. So, yes, it's possible. And I don't buy any green vegetables since probably 3 or 4 years since I started the garden. So.
And not only is it possible, but what other comments would you make to our previous caller? I don't remember his name, but is it fun? Is it productive? Does it work? Can you get anything done in the winter? Can you get anything done in the heat of the summer?
We have great spices. We have green, spring mix. Everything is growing. There are several things that you can grow in the winter and in the summer. And we grow it all year round. Plus, it's a little getaway for me because my job is I have my own business. And in the morning, I do gardening to kind of get away from what I do during the day. Then in the evening, I check my garden and I see, you know, what is growing, what I need to do. And also gives life to my mom. My mom is 83, and she said that if we didn't have the garden, she probably wouldn't be alive now because it gives her something to do and to be connected with the earth and with the nature, because, you know, in the inner city, we don't have too much to do in Houston, but this little oasis in the back of our building,
How big is it? What's the size of the plot?
The plot is pretty small. Actually, we have four flower beds with some organic soil, and we have compost, and we started also trees. We planted probably 6 or 7 trees. Some of them are big now and giving fruit, citrus trees. And it's a very small, pretty small. It's kind of like a backyard. I'm living in the Elder Street Artist Lofts. Yep. And they had a doubt, the management had doubt to let me start the garden. And now everybody appreciates it. People get all their spices. No one buys spices from the grocery store because we're growing everything out there. You got to only go downstairs and get it.
Lucy, thanks for the call.
Yes.
Okay, so there you have it. It's possible. People are doing it. Mike, welcome to the New Capital Show. Mike, you're on.
Yeah, Leo, I just want to point out there seems to be a lot of misconceptions out there about a lot of things.
Yes, that's true.
And one of the things, I've been doing a whole lot of research for my degree studies, and I found out that nutrition is important to IQ. It's been found that it's actually got a more prevailing influence than genetics as far as intelligence is concerned. Prenatal and postnatal nutrition mm-hmm. is very important.
Yep.
And another thing, too, is this here, the same countries that are that has the economic injustice and environmental injustice that's not being discussed in Copenhagen is... also, this injustice is what spurs population growth. and the population, between social economic injustice, malnutrition, is what's forcing the population to grow at an alarming rate.
You know, Mike, the one variable, the independent variable at the root of so many problems, we have all these dependent variables, hunger and education and health and all these other things. The one thing that is at the root of those dependent variables, if you were to run regressions, and they've run regressions, and that we really know, Gates Foundation knows this, so many of our really advanced foundations and nonprofits understand this, is poverty. Poverty is the independent variable that drives so many of our problems. Because when someone is poor, just as you said, they don't have nutrition, which means they don't have the energy to engage in activities that they need to support themselves. They don't have education. They don't have capital. So many things that people need. And so poverty is really at the root of so many things. And so many of our really advanced social organizations, whether they're endowments or academic institutions or sociological institutions doing statistical research in the world, what we know is that when you are poor, you just don't have much of a fighting chance. And it goes on. We can go on to understand that the more poor we have in the world, the worse off we're all going to be. Does that help kind of summarize your viewpoint?
Yes, and I'd like to add one more little statistic to this. Is the United States, the nation, is one of the few industrialized nations that is actually increasing in population.
What is that? Which state?
The United States.
Is one of the only ones increasing in population?
One of the few industrialized nations increasing in population.
I think that's true. I think that's right. I think that Russia's seeing population contraction in parts of Europe as well.
Yeah, and which
is not a bad thing, by the way.
Right, but I just think it's kind of telling. You can judge a tree by its fruit. We're not as free as we think we are.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Just a few minutes left. Christopher will take, and then Stacy. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Leo, I love your show. I love the concept. I've been listening since the very beginning.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to get this out real fast. Basically, in the line of the concept of your show, I wanted to sort of make a point that about true costs, because you're always talking about true costs. Mm-hmm. I think that the true cost to the environment is found mostly like in the new, I believe it's a UN report, that 51% of all greenhouse gases are actually derived from the production of different meat products, raising animals for consumption.
Yeah.
Also in that line, I don't think you can, if you are killing animals or slaughtering animals, I don't think that can ever truly be called humane in the end result.
Yeah. But no, I think as humane as we can possibly conceive, should be the standard.
Okay, but even if I give that point, still the true cost to the environment is extreme. The new estimates are something like 51% of all, of all gases are contributable to food production of animals. And
I think
like 18.5%.
I think, Christopher, that's right. I think that we believe that we need to eat a lot more protein. We've done that through habit or through marketing. We need to eat a lot more animal protein than we really need to eat. And
that we don't need that much protein.
That's right. And I'm not coming out and saying to everyone needs to go vegetarian or vegan or whatnot. I admire those who make that choice. But I think that where we need to get is certainly to a greater balance, where we're not having to raise so many domestic animals for meat, and we can cut back on the amount of meat and animal protein that we all consume, because we just don't need nearly as much as we consume. And you're right, it has a very significant effect on the environment.
Leave aside what they can do. do personally to, you know, to help the environment or go green, like you were talking about.
That's right.
But, in, you know, instead of, like, some of the things about building, you know, doing green building, which is all great,
yep.
or putting in, you know, new light bulbs, if they, you know, if 51% of the greenhouse gases are caused by the way people eat,
that's right.
then that would be the easiest way for anybody to go out and do something on their own.
That's right.
That helps the environment in a substantial way.
You bet.
Point out one other thing, that it takes more calories to produce meat, even in humane, you know, humanely raised, than the calories that you get out in protein and other calories. So it's unsustainable.
Yep. Christopher, that's right. I think I agree with everything you say. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go back to Stacy, who maybe is now through her toll booth. Stacy?
Yeah, thanks for giving me another chance.
Yep.
You called me at just the wrong time.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so I want to talk about overpopulation.
Uh-huh.
And this is a really interesting topic that people keep bringing up, and I understand the LaRouchean fear is of this sort of this, of eugenics.
Uh-huh.
And the truth is, and I have friends on the left that remind me of this sometimes, the truth is that overpopulation is not the problem. The problem is the allocation of resources, the way that the resources are being allocated. We have enough land, we have enough gas, we have enough energy, we have enough food, you know, we have enough land to grow food, to feed everybody on this planet, and then some. But we don't allocate it properly. And that's the issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if we can remind the people that are afraid of these, you know, eugenic things that are, you know, happening in their imaginations in the future, then you can go back to them and you can say, you know what, you're right. Overpopulation isn't the problem. The problem is getting all these people fed, getting them, you know, transported from one place to another without destroying the environment and, you know, without, you know, spending all these pieces of land calorically in bad ways. You know, another bad way to do it other than growing meat is, you know, turning corn into gasoline, you know.
Yep.
That stuff's not working, you know.
Stacy, thanks.
But it's all there. Thank you.
Great.
Bye.
So many good calls today, really continuing to draw our attention to the trade-offs. That's the word, the trade-offs that are made and the choices that we make. And what is the optimal trade-off? These are not easy questions, and there are no easy answers, but at least we had an hour to struggle with the questions, and that's really oftentimes the most important thing. The answers will come. It's been great to be with you, Offshore. Thanks for running the board today. I hope that everybody has a... when is Christmas? Is it the 25th? On Friday, so we'll see. I'm going to try to take a couple weeks of vacation. I don't know if I'm going to make it back in for the final 2 weeks, but I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. If I do, it'll be great to be with you. If I don't, well, it'll be okay not to be with you, but it won't be as good. I hope everybody is having a great holiday season, great end of the year. It's kind of a special time. I really like it. And I hope that you will take care in the coming days.
My name's Chris, and I've been using drugs for many years. I've been in and out of jail. I lost the trust of my friends, my family years ago. I was desperate, lonely, and totally hopeless until I found the opportunity of my lifetime, the CenterCore program in Deer Park, Texas. The CenterCore treatment program helps men and women end the cycle of substance abuse once and for all. CenterCore is not a quick fix, but if you're serious about changing your life, CenterCore works. If you or someone you know is ready to build a new life, CenterCore is here to help. Call 1-866-923-3428 and a CenterCore representative will tell you how to get started. That's 1-866-923-3428. CenterCore can put you on the right track to getting your life back, and they won't ask if you have insurance. I have a new life now. If you want to save yours, give CenterCore a call.
listening to KPFT Houston.